You're in the race for the Senate. You've been kind of testing the water for some time. Why did you wait until now instead of jumping a week, 2 weeks ago, a month ago, when everybody was saying he's the guy that's going to come in?
Well, Bob, this is a big decision, first of all, for me and my family here. But second of all, I owe it to the people I bring in, as well as the voters and citizens of Missouri, to come up with a good plan and good organization. And I guess I've always looked at everything I've done in my manufacturing company along the same way. Now, maybe some of these politicians wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to run for office. But I believe a good plan and good organization is going to be critical to get out a good message. And so we took the time necessary to, as I would say, or my former business partner, a retired colonel in the Air Force, to get the 80% solution and then get charging. So we feel the time is right now.
Now, straighten me out a little bit, please, on what your relationship is now with your company. Are you retired from the company? Are you still with it in some form?
No, I'm really the chairman and emeritus. That means I'm standing by to make a call on an important customer, or meet with some different employees, or on some strategic issues or opportunities. I love the product development side and sharing new ideas here. So I guess I'm on call kind of a guy right now. So I love the company, love the business, but we got some good people there running the business today.
So if they want you, you're there. Otherwise, you pretty well let other people have the reins.
Well, yeah, it did. It's important that a business has some succession planning and a program to maintain its continuity here. And I worked on that for a number of years. And so now, in terms of the opportunities to really put full time and effort here into this campaign, I'm really looking forward to doing all I can to get across to Missouri. As you're aware, I don't have the name recognition, but it's just going to require me to put in a lot more hard work and effort and hope to get across starting this week.
How expensive is this campaign going to be, do you think?
Gosh, who knows? It's interesting. You go back on the internet and search different campaigns at different times. A lot of it depends on the opposition here, but I've always been very, very cost conscious in our business, and hope to be very efficient going forward here as well. But yeah, I got to really leave that to the people who are organizing the details of the campaign. But we plan to make every dollar count.
Do you plan on getting considerable donations from large corporate donors that, under the recent court ruling, are allowed to contribute large amounts of money without disclosing where they came from?
I've never even thought of that question, and I've always looked at the important thing in terms of raising funds is to attract as many people from as many locations and areas that you can. I mean, really, to build up a good, strong base. At the end of the day, everybody gets one vote, and that's what's important to me.
Are you comfortable with accepting money from organizations that are not transparent about where the money came from?
I don't know how, not accepting money that it's not transparent. I want to know where the funds come from. I mean, that's important. But that's something I'm going to have to ask my professional team here to understand exactly what that is. But it's important that we have an open campaign and like I said, we raise funds from as many people who are as passionate and interested in this message and really to build up a quantitative as well as a qualitative base of people.
Well, understanding that you are, and this is not an uncommon situation for people who seek higher office like the Senate, who come out of the business world or any other non-political world at this point, would you be inclined to want to make public where this money comes from during the campaign, not just from the organization that gave it to you, but the roots of the money?
Oh, definitely. My understanding here is that you're required to do so, and I think that's important.
Well, tell me what the basic platform is of John Brunner.
Well, I'm a guy who's had his nose to the grindstone for over 30 years running manufacturing and getting our products distributed all across the country with every retailer. And I'm a guy who's come up against some pretty big competition, such as Procter & Gamble and Johnson & Johnson and Pfizer. And we worked with every retailer across the country to get our value products to the retail stores. We have a proposition of store brands that create a better value proposition for consumers here, and especially in tougher economic times when everybody's looking to save a dollar. So in order to deliver that value, we just have to work harder and smarter and faster and in a coordinated effort better than anyone else. And so I took those same kind of thoughts and skills here and said, my gosh, we're in a trouble in our country. And here in Missouri, a loss of manufacturing jobs. And I think, you know, the big thing is I've talked to a number of people already here is that a lot of people are just scared and worried, and they don't have any sense of direction. It's kind of a hunker-down mode, whether it's individual families or businesses that are concerned about investing and expanding because they really don't see any kind of sense of direction coming from Washington. And it all starts with getting a budget put together. And we're talking some of the basic business skills here that, what is it, almost 900 days, and the Senate has put a budget together. So I'm hoping to come in with some of those basic common sense business skills and team up with guys like Ron Johnson, who came from the business world in the last cycle and two cycles ago. Bob Corker, Tennessee, is a business guy, and talk about budgets, planning, prioritization, all the things that we do to run a successful business and keep the jobs going. So I guess that's pretty much my thought here. I have some experience, and I can bring that to Washington, and I think there's a good, clear comparison between me and the other candidates from both parties and the lack of that experience. And at the same time, you know, I have the conservative principles and ideals that I've believed in my whole life, and that are important to many Missourians as well.
You know, in all the years I've been covering politics, and that's 40 or more, you might be the first candidate who truly can come into a race with clean hands.
Well,
I mean, anybody who makes Germex has to be able to make that claim.
Well, we like to think that Germex does 99% of the germs, and probably does 100% too, but I think you got something there. You know, maybe there is some analogy going forward.
If you were on this special committee in Washington that's supposed to come up with budget cuts by the end of this month, what kinds of things would you be looking at doing? Well, I can't say coming up with budget cuts, but coming up with a plan by the end of the month, what would you be recommending?
Well, the only thing I can do is go back to, again, what was successful in my business here. And you know, our business has not always seen the good days. We joke that we never have two good years in a row, which gave us a lot of time for looking at budgets and planning. And the most important thing is you get across the table and you have to look at everything and you have to set your priorities. And I know that there's differences in ideology in regards to priorities here, but it's getting into such a crisis situation here that you have to go right on down the line and saying, okay, what's most critical and what's really important and need to have, should have. Those are the kind of elements that are critical. And the other thing that is really important, this has become such a political process over the years, is that everybody's throwing barbs back and forth. So hopefully these guys, when they're sitting down together, they'll understand the severity of the issues that are there. The only concern that I have on this process is that I'm getting a little concerned about these career politicians that sometimes are continue to spend us maybe a little too much concern about their reelection and their longevity and building their career as opposed to making the tough decisions. And I really don't have that problem. I'm not looking to build a career. I'm not looking for a job. I'm looking to help others get jobs and put my focus on whatever tough decisions we need to make. We need to do them together, bipartisan.
Can we make progress on balancing the budget or eliminating the deficit only by cutting?
Did I lose you?
No, I'm here.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got the first part of the question.
Yeah,
I must say
yeah, can we only balance the budget or make progress against the deficit only by cutting?
Well, I mean, right now we have a huge spending problem here, and I know there's the conflict between those who feel we need more revenue and those who say we need to cut spending. But right now the spending is so far out of whack here that that really should be our first priority. I mean, I know in our business when we're having those tough years, we always had to look at the spending here to balance the revenues that were there, and that's how we got our fiscal house in order here. And the problem is, over all these years, as you know and everybody else knows, is that we continue to borrow and borrow and borrow and spend and spend and spend, and now we're really in a deep problem, and we got China breathing down our neck here with the tremendous loans to them. So we have to just, first priority is look at the spending.
Well, as a businessman, did you never increase your prices?
Well, as a business guy, we have all kinds of competition here. And I have never found that increasing prices brought in more customers. I've always found that finding ways to lower the prices and creating a better value seem to generate the best business opportunity. But, outside of those times where you have a real world inflation and have to deal with that, but, the great thing in the business area, you have built-in systems that keep everybody figuring out how to save money. I mean, this is a side note, I don't mean to go down here, but I just read at UPS, they determined they could save 1.7 seconds per delivery. Now, this is just a whole delivery. If they went from electronic keys for their trucks instead of real keys. And I think that's a kind of a fine-tuning and gut-level look that we need to do with our whole spending program here and finding out, what can we really save without and what can we really cut and keep the priorities in the right place.
Would you cut Medicare?
No, we have to protect our seniors here. And we have an unsustainable program going on right now, and everybody can do the timeline. But we have time to look at it. And, again, you bring all the people around the table and saying, we got to treat this now serious. And we got to find a way to maintain our promises to our seniors and take care of the problem.
So you would not cut Medicare, but you would look for ways to improve the funding basis for it.
Well, I wish there was a real simple answer to these questions here. And, there are so many opportunities and situations here, like in so many government programs, that there's a waste. I mean, I'm a former military guy, a former Marine, and I tell you what, even when I was there in the mid-70s, it was important that we had the best and latest technologies and the resources to protect us here. And even again, there's problems in the defense budget that we have to look at too. So there's opportunities everywhere.
Okay, what would you do about Social Security and making sure that it's sustainable far beyond the current drop-dead date that people are putting on it?
Well, again, that's always been the tough issues. I think a real problem is that the politicians for years have failed to do anything about it, and now we're coming to a crisis situation with Social Security. So it's the same issue. You got to lay it on the table, pull the people around the table and say, okay, what do we need to do? But bottom line, we have to protect our seniors.
Well, I gather from your answers, though, which boil down to everybody needs to sit around a table and discuss this, that you don't really have a preference yourself for what you think should be done. Do you have an idea for what should be done with either of these issues?
Well, basically, we have a serious spending problem in our nation, in our country, and I haven't met anybody who disagrees with that. We have a basic problem in terms of excessive regulations and more coming out all the time. And I haven't talked to anybody who says we need more regulations. And then there's some discussion here, opinion, we need a simplified tax code to make it fair for everybody. And those are the three areas. I know the direction I want to go and where we need to head, and we'll head that direction. Hey, I got to apologize. I got another call coming right in here, but you've got another question. I'd be glad to help with that.
Well, yeah, you brought up the tax idea. Are you in favor of the fair tax at the federal level?
You know, the whole issue of the taxes. I mean, I'm helping out a little bit with that question. I'm sorry.
Well, are you in favor of eliminating the income tax and going to an alternative tax such as a fair tax?
Oh, you know, it's interesting hearing Herman Cain talk about that as an alternative here. I think that's definitely worth looking at as a way to resolve it. But the net impact, whatever we come up with, it has to be fair, easy to understand, without a net increase in tax revenues. Bottom line, to get jobs back, and this is my main thrust here, get jobs back in Missouri and America, we have to be competitive on a world market. And we have to deal with all of these issues here to get ourselves competitive. Jobs are going the wrong direction. I'd love to see them coming back, and so would everybody else.